But we're going online now.
Yeah. It's up. It's up.
Okay. All right. Okay, so
It's up. Okay.
So I want to thank you all for joining me tonight for the Scribal Conservatory. We have about a minute our Bible study, and then we're gonna jump right in. So I'm looking forward to tonight. I pray that you all are doing well. Send some shout outs. Let folks know you are here. Let's formally welcome everybody. Oh, good, good, good. It's good to see all of you. Good to see all of you. Oh, it is. We're on Zoom and we are on Facebook Live. So we're doing both. Just want to let you know so that you'll be aware. I'm looking for LA. Are you there? I know I saw her, or at least I heard her a few minutes ago. So just give me a second. I'm just making sure, because if she comes in, I need to be able to give her the room. All right. So I've muted everybody so far because we did have some interference. So if you're looking for it, the link is actually in the Scribal Prophets. I'm not the Scribal Prophets group, but inside the Scribal Conservatory group. Did you all find it there? Let's see. If it is, let me try to repost it, because I think some people are having problems. Hold on one second. So welcome, Shakita. Good to see you. Welcome, Andrea and T and everybody. So good to see you. I need to know if you guys can see the link on Facebook. The link to Zoom. Okay, come on, phone. All right, so I'm gonna, yeah, it is. It's on Zoom. So the link is on Zoom. And the link is on Facebook inside the Scribal Prophets group. I did it right.
And it's in the Bible study group.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so I was texting, but I want to make sure you guys can see everything. Good, good, good. So we're going to go ahead and get started. It is 7:30. I know some of you have things to do. So we're going to go ahead and jump right in. I'm just going to just say, Father, just guide our Bible study tonight. Allow us, Lord, to just speak to your heart, not our own. Allow us to be able to just move in clarity and understanding. And with questions, Father, I thank you that we're going to teach what's on your heart, not on our own. And we have no agenda other than to celebrate you and to make you known. And all we want to do is to know you. So guide us in the midst of this Bible study so that you are revealed, so that you are elevated in Jesus' name. I'm going to use a PowerPoint again tonight. I think that's easier for us. And then we also have just a few scriptures. I want to prepare you in just the sense that we're going to go over the same scriptures several times. So we're not looking at a whole bunch of different scriptures, but we are going through these scriptures are going to be repetitive. Now, last week, I gave you one principle on our topic. Tonight, we'll be able to get through two, and next Tuesday we'll do the final two. So that's how we're going to do it. But we're talking about how to identify false prophecy. So I want you to be comfortable with this. What we normally do is we take questions. You can comment. If you're on Zoom, you can talk about it. But I do ask that you mute yourselves. I think LA is going to be watching that. And if you need to speak, she'll watch that. If you type in the chat, she'll watch that. And if she has something to say or a word that the Lord release, we're going to have her release that on tonight as well. And if any others that feel like the Lord is speaking, they can do that as well. The intent is not to criticize anyone or anything, but to literally help us navigate everything that has to do with false prophecy so that we can, some tools that we may not talk about as much. So I'm not really addressing things that are common. There are some scriptures we'll use that are really common and that are foundational. But overall, I want to give you some practical, not even revelatory, things you may know, but some simple ways of studying what prophecy is. So this is the definition that I gave. It's like a bare bones, scrape bottom of the barrel, the most simplest definition I could think of to describe false prophecy. And I simply wrote, in our faith, it is words, actions, or deeds from a person claiming a divine gift of some kind, or access to speak for or on behalf of God that contradicts the Lord's intention and purposes for prophecy. So that is the definition we are using. The definition from prophecy, there's so many different ways to describe it. There's no one good definition, but I did my best in trying to make sense of that. So we talked about the source of false prophecy. We looked at these areas. We also talked about this, and I just want to point this out, that we must make room for growth in the midst of talking about false prophecy. And I also asked you to just consider the fact that people are quick to call other people, that's a false prophet, that's a false prophet. But we have to recognize that we're all growing, right? We're all coming out of things. I know I've come out a lot of stuff, and I probably would have been one of those that you all had called a false prophet about eight, nine years ago, because I was prophesying some crazy stuff, but it was based on how I was raised up. And it was based on the denomination that I was in. So my encouragement here is we can say that sounds like a false prophecy. That sounds like a false word, instead of accusing people and naming people who could be in their growth process and their learning process. So let's not be trigger happy with false prophets. Recognize that some people have been raised in error. They have been taught to be sons of hell. We are to discern what God calls good from what God identifies as evil. And we even talked about how a lot of us just don't know things. And so Apollos was a person who did not know the baptism. He only knew the baptism of John or the immersion of John. He did not know about the release of the Holy Spirit. So it took some apostles to say, listen, oh my goodness, yeah, you preach real good. You absolutely right. But we have something that's going to elevate your understanding. And so they invited him home for dinner, and they took time to really teach him about the Spirit of God so that he could receive the Spirit, which is, you know, which is what he needed, and also to begin to teach by the Spirit. And later on, we begin to see people compare Apollos with Paul, and because both of them were excellent teachers, so now competition had entered into the church, but that's another story. So I just wanted to point that out because I think it's important. We are not accusing anybody of anything. That's not our intention here. We're not saying we have the best teaching on this or anything like this, but I just felt like we needed something practical to hold on to, something we could turn back to the word to hold on to. And I'm very grateful to those of you that posted your Bibles, where you've been studying and reading your Bible. If you have your Bible today, say, I have my Bible, physical Bible, not just a digital device. So I'm going to keep pushing that. But our goal is to identify false prophecy, to avoid becoming a part of the problem. We're gaining tools to help us recognize whether or not the Lord is speaking. So that's what we're doing. And that is where we are going. I'm very excited because this topic is dear to my heart. I'm giving you some of the things that I do, We've already covered one topic. We're not going to talk about it again, but because the Bible study is posted in the group, you can listen to it. You can see some of the notes I posted from last week. But the first principle is all prophecy should reveal Christ. All prophecy should reveal Christ. And this is important because all the other principles that we're going to talk about fall on the foundation of this truth. So anything that I share from this point, and I spent time on this because I felt like it was necessary. I know some of you, I was talking to someone and they said, well, you teach this all the time. I said, I do, but there are people who have not heard it. They have not heard it. So I want you to grab this, grab hold of it, and really, really get it in your heart. Again, if you are unmuted, I really need you to mute yourselves, So that was principle one. Now, this is something else I want to talk about, just read to you. When we say we prophesy, we are saying we are repeating the words of God that we hear him speak. Now, I know nobody on this line is a baby. I know you're not hearing this for the first time. So I don't want to make you feel like I am teaching you as if you don't know anything, because some of you have probably been through all kinds of prophetic schools. You probably have studied this deeply in your time with the Lord. The Lord has probably trained you and equipped you. There are others here who may be just now coming into understanding what the prophetic is, what prophecy is, what the spirit of prophecy is, what the gift of prophecy is, you know, and we're not talking about any of that. But what's important is to really understand that when we say we are prophesying, we're literally saying, I'm speaking for God. I am God's mouthpiece. I'm demonstrating the will of God. I am illustrating what it is that God wants right now in this moment. I am coming in the name of the Lord. This is so important. Because I can tell you, I have a lot of ideas that are inspired that I feel like are from the Lord, but I'm never going to say, God said. I'm never going to jump and say, God told me this and God told me that. And because I happen to know that Teresa tells herself a whole lot of stuff, and most of it, even now, is not the Lord. So we're doing this Bible study, and I'm trusting Holy Spirit in that, because Holy Spirit's role is to be faithful to the will of God as I teach. And so, you know, that's really important. And it's so critical to this. And people in this day and age in the prophetic church or in the charismatic movement, however we're going to say this, you know, charismatic, Pentecostal, that, you know, a lot of this is intertwined. But we're literally saying that every word that when we say, it's time for me to prophesy, I see a lot of people do that on social media, and they just go in saying all these things. And I just want us to know that that's a weighty declaration. Now, hold on to that word. You'll understand why I'm so adamant about it when we get to this first point, the second point. The first point, remember, the first principle is revealing Christ. All prophetic word exists to reveal Christ. So it's important. It's the spirit, and we don't want to mislead or abuse or move the spirit of God in any way outside of his intention and his will for us. So the principle number two is this. It should be a C. Prophecy should sound like Jesus's heart for recalibration and reconciliation. Prophecy should sound like Jesus's heart for recalibration, repentance, which is change, turning things around. It should, it's in his heart for reconciliation. Very, very, very important. So not only are we principle number one, revealing Christ, but prophecy should direct us concerning Christ's intent for his people to be recalibrated, to be reconciled. So if I get a personal word, Teresa, I hear the Lord saying that he is doing this in your life and that he is, what is that prophecy doing? That prophecy is recalibrating my mind and my heart. That prophecy is reconciling who I was meant to be to my own understanding. That prophetic word, now this is personal prophecy I'm talking about in that example. But if I hear a word going forth and that prophetic word is something like, hear the Lord saying that the church is divided, that the church is this, the church is that, then we have to understand, okay, how is that word that I am hearing recalibrating the church? How is it reconciling the congregation back to the will of God? Now we're looking at new covenant prophecy because the gift of prophecy in the new covenant is released under the calling of Jesus Christ. And the, Jesus and the elevation of Christ. That's not me making it up. We learn in Ephesians, in the book of John, we learn that Christ is the one who released the spirit in the earth. I want you to hold that truth to your heart. Christ released Holy Spirit. Prior to that, Holy Spirit only dwelled, only fell among people. A way we can see it in modern day, he rested upon those whom God chose. He rested upon those that God called as prophet or that God called as priest. Holy Spirit did not live and dwell in the earth before the resurrection. He came on the day of Pentecost. So prior to the resurrection of Christ, there was no indwelling. Oh my goodness. There was no resting or holding place for everyone. There was no temple made for the Spirit of God to live on the inside of us. In the old covenant, the temple was symbolic. The temple was demonstrated by things you made. The temple was a tent. It was a temple. It was, but the tent, the resting place of the Spirit in the new covenant is us. Somebody asked me, when's the second coming? Now, I believe that Christ is coming again, but I believe the true second coming was when he came into the earth by the Spirit and began to fill us. That's my belief. I'm not teaching on that tonight, but it is something that you all should think about. Christ came in us. In us. He returned. He made a house. He made a place to dwell, and that's in me and it's in you. So we must begin to really grab hold of this because we talked about this last week. Jesus said something so profound. He said, I say only what I hear the Father say. And he's talking about in the time in which he came as the kingdom is at hand. So when he talks about, he says, and he does what he heard the Father say, he was speaking of his specific mandate right there, but he was also talking about reconciling the old covenant. And so again, listen to last week's lesson. So I want you to hear this. Prophecy should sound like Jesus's heart for recalibration and for reconciliation. That gives room for correction. That gives room for judgment. That gives room because any judgment, listen to this, any authentic judgment will make a way for Christ to be seen, experienced, and for Christ to be heard. God does not judge. You won't find a single prophecy in the new covenant in which you just get this awful judgment with no hope of glory. The Bible says only three things remain. Three. That's faith. That's hope. And that is the love of God. So Christ gave us something strikingly different from what the people of the old covenant endured. So I hope this is blessing you. Oh, thank you. Karen says she has her Bible. Ashley says she has hers. Andrea says she has her Bible because y'all gonna need it. Oh my goodness, you're gonna need it. Veruva, I hope you have your Bible. I didn't see that. Oh man, Apostle Pamela says she has her Bible. Kirk says he has his Bible. This is wonderful. You gotta have your Bible because there's some things I want you to circle. Oh my goodness, and study for yourself. I always tell you, don't take my word for anything. Find it in the Bible yourself. I'm only a messenger. I'm only a person that's teaching you right now. And we're all able to have flaws. There's no perfect teaching. I get too excited sometimes. And I'm like, am I ever going to be able to heal myself? I would never blame Holy Spirit for that. That's just Teresa getting excited because the Spirit of God is speaking, or I'm getting revelation while I'm teaching you. And it gets overwhelming and you just get excited and hyper. I would never blame Holy Spirit for that. Other than being the inspiration behind my excitement. But I don't believe God needs to yell at anybody for them to hear. So I need healing. So pray for me that I'm able to calm down when I'm teaching sometimes. Listen, this second principle that I gave you, you know, about recalibration and reconciliation will never leave you void of hope. It'll never leave you void of mercy. It'll never leave you void of the principles of reconciliation. It'll never leave you void of the love of God. Listen, we can go back to the old covenant from that part, because David said, I think it was Psalm 139, he said, even if I make my bed in hell, you are there. It's funny how we forget that scripture. He said, even if I make my bed in the darkest place ever, God is still there. That blows me away. Even when we are saturated in judgments and things that happen, God is still there. Listen, he proves that all through the old covenant. They went through. Some people didn't make it to the other side, but that doesn't mean God ever left them. It doesn't mean God ever left them. So I want to show you something, and I want you to get your Bibles. I'm going to flip to the scripture. So we've been dealing with Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and I'm just going to read this because it is a principle. You can't talk about it's part of the principle. You can't talk about recalibration and you can't talk about reconciliation without this truth of prophecy, the foundational truth of new covenant prophecy, the foundational truth of new covenant prophecy standing before you. I'm not going to read all of it, just this one verse. But the one who prophesies speak to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. I want to say that. So whether it be the office of the prophet or whether it be the gift of prophecy, whatever kind of prophetic it is, there has to be an element, again, of recalibration and reconciliation. And those elements that recalibrate us, even if they are correction, are supposed to strengthen us, encourage us, and comfort us. Even if those are difficult messages, God, when he speaks, Jesus, when he speaks in the new covenant release of the Spirit, and the new time of the resurrection, it's God's intention to cause himself to be revealed. So you can't let go of that. I don't care what religious idea is coming in somebody's mind right now or head. There is no argument against that truth. Real study of the scripture will point all roads to that place. I promise you they will. Oh my goodness. That's why I'm telling you that when you look at this and we're looking at false prophecy, sometimes we're looking at people, but we don't know what people are coming out of. We don't know who raised the people. We don't know. That's why for me, and this is me, I'm not telling you what to do, but I stick with prophecy close to my camp. And I'm going to always do that. And I'm not talking about camping out. But when it comes to here, I'm not saying we can't get corporate releases. We can't hear from global prophets. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying at the end of the day, I want what I hear outside of my circle of safety, outside of my place of accountability. Whatever I'm hearing, I want it to line up with what others are hearing as well. I'm not talking about personal prophecy in that instant. So I just want to make sure we have that. So I'm going to close this because we don't need that anymore. Y'all are probably looking shocked. What? She only got one page of scripture up here? Not really. You don't know what I'm about to do. We're going through Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So I really want you to grasp this. Now, I want you to see something real quick. I love this because if you have your Bibles and if you have a Bible with red letter, most of Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are going to be in red. Oh my gosh. So some of this we highlighted last time. So I'm just going over the same scripture over and over again, but there's so much in here, I could still dig, but I want you to see something. It says here, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, I want you to pay attention to this. It says, he said. Now Jesus said and declared, I say nothing except what I hear my Father say, and I do nothing except that I hear my Father, except what I see my Father do. So I began paying attention to everywhere where the letters were read in the new covenant, well, in the new scriptures. Now, Jesus is the kingdom at hand. So the new covenant had not been solidified while he was walking the earth until his resurrection, but it had already come. So I just want to clarify that. So what he's teaching, and we've said that over and over again, is new covenant. I won't go through the power of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, because we did that last week. And it says he said. And so in other words, he said, God said, if Jesus said, God said. Are you following me? If Jesus said, then God said. We already know that Holy Spirit came, and according to Jesus in the book of John, Holy Spirit said, I came to reveal Christ. So if Holy Spirit said, Jesus said. And if Jesus said, God said. So this goes back to all these people who say they're hearing God, right? I want you to begin to listen to how Jesus spoke. That's number one. If somebody could write that for me or put that somewhere where other people can see it. He said, not Paul said, not Peter said, we're only focusing on Jesus and how he handled prophecy. We're only focusing on Jesus and how he handled prophecy because we need the perfect example. Paul said, look to me as I follow Christ. See, Jesus didn't need any help following God. He was blameless. He was perfect. But people, don't miss this. We need help. We have to be reminded over and over again, look to Jesus, constantly. So when we want to understand prophecy, I'm asking you. No, I'm begging you. Observe how Jesus released prophecy in the new covenant. He says here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It comes right after he said. I ain't reading all that. I'm just making a point. It came right after he said, and he said, blessed, blessed, blessed. Then he stops and he starts teaching. So now he's teaching, he's teaching, he's teaching, he's teaching. Oh, we get to verse 18. For truly, I tell you. Other translations, verse 18, he goes and he says, for true, assuredly, I say to you. So listen, he's prophesying, for truly, I tell you. Can you see the difference? I'm not moving forward anymore until I know you can see the difference in what I'm sharing with you. Now, he flipped to a different subject here, but there is no he said. There's nothing about he said. He's teaching prophetically. But when he gets to things that he wants us to know, for truly I tell you, for assuredly I say to you, this day I command you. I want you to know your words and your phrases. So you can reconcile, verily, verily. That's an excellent example. And if you have some examples of things he said, what I'm asking you to do, if you write in your Bible, if you take notes, I want you to remind yourself in this moment to note anywhere in scripture where Jesus said, for assuredly I say, do not think, I command you. I want you to look at those places. I want you to look at them and I want you to say to yourself, my God, Jesus is prophesying. That's what I want you to do. And I want you to look at how he prophesied. Look at this word of correction before he says, for truly I tell you. Listen to this. He said, listen, let me correct you right now. Don't think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I didn't. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I tell you, and he's saying right here, and the Lord is saying, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Oh my God. Verse 20. For I tell you, oh my God, that unless the righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, that's a prophetic word. A corrective prophetic word. Listen to this. You have heard that it was said. So he's teaching right here. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But he said, I prophesy that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment. Can y'all see that? There's an undoing taking place here. What have we done with prophecy? What have we done? What have we done? Again, anyone who says to his brother or sister, Raka, is answerable to the court. In other words, you calling somebody a fool. And anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now he's talking to them. But and then he goes on, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and that now see, people are going to come along and they're going to have the nerve to argue with you about whether Christ prophesied. The answer to that is this: everything he said was prophecy. How do I know? Because he said, I say nothing except I hear what the Father speak. I demonstrate nothing except what I hear the Father demonstrate. Holy Spirit said, my job inside the temple that I am placed in now is to reveal Christ. So while everybody looking at Paul, Peter, Ezekiel, and there is a greater prophet. We need to put our eyes back on Jesus for the new covenant release. Now he gives them great correction. He even gave them judgment. He said, I'm telling you right now, you will be in danger. But yet as you read and as you go through, you're gonna find that he made sure he restored them and he recalibrated them. And you're gonna find that he found a way to bring reconciliation. That there was a way for them to touch grace. Are you with me? Are you with me? People got a lot of ideas of what prophecy is, but I have yet to hear anybody talk about Jesus as a prophet and demonstrate how he prophesied. This is what happens when you turn away from what's popular. I always tell you, conservators, and I hear the Lord saying this, get out of everybody's book and get into the word. The Spirit is able. The Spirit is able to teach you if you're willing to let go. See, the character and the heart of God comes through the mercy of the words that he released. I hope you guys heard that. We're going to stop for a minute because we have more to go, but I don't want to, well, let me just do this one more little bit real quick. How do I get to, what did I just do? If you all see any conservators that aren't here, oh my, how do I get to? Oh, there it is. All right. Matthew 6. Oh, I don't know why. That's not highlighted on the left side. Listen to this. Here's another one. Take heed. So we got, assuredly I say, we had one person say, verily, verily, verily. We had another person say, listen, I tell you now, it is written. So you hear these things. Where he is telling you, I am saying what God said. And here we are, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. That's a prophetic word. He didn't say, I recommend that you don't do your charitable. No, he said, take heed. He said, I need you to listen to this. I command you to listen to this. I need you to understand this. Stop doing everything out in the open. Listen, I tell you, I don't put people laid out on the floor under the Spirit that look what God did. I don't do that when I have a service. I people do it. I'm not downing them, but I'm putting this out there because I want you to think about the real motives behind what we do. I want you to think about that. I put a video up and I took time to blot out everybody's face who was getting prophesied to. Listen, that's just me. I know it's not popular to do that in today's time. I know people think something wrong when you don't post pictures of your ministry and brag about everything, but the Bible says, take heed that you do not do charitable deeds. Whatever you're giving, and we all know charity isn't just about money. So that's a principle that you can break down. Here we go again. In verse 2, the end of that. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Oh my God. God said all them accolades you get, all them people clapping because you did something wonderful that is really your reasonable service, that's your reward because you ain't getting jack from me. That's basically what that prophetic word is. I prophesy you shall not receive nothing from me because you have already gotten your reward from men. That's what he's saying. Eat it up while you can because I got nothing for you for that because that's not my heart. That doesn't reveal me, it reveals you. I hope you all are following. There's so much depth to this teaching. I couldn't possibly do it justice, but there are little nuggets that I want to give you along the way that I hope will just fill your soul with such confirmation. Because look, people, I prophesy you're going to get $10,000. I want you to really think about this stuff that people release. I want you to see it as learned behavior. I want you to see it as mimicking ministry. But what I want you to see the most is that it's not Jesus. How is my receiving $10,000 revealing Christ? Where's the rest of that prophecy? Are you tracking? Are you following? Are you tracking? Where's the rest of that prophetic word? How is Christ being revealed? Where is my recalibration? Where is my reconciliation? Where is Christ's character in that? Where is the revealing that makes that profitable to the Spirit? Now, this is a prophetic word. Now, I'm not prophesying, but this is an example of a prophetic word about money. I see the Lord saying that he's going to give you $10,000. You're going to use that money to open a food pantry, or the Lord's going to give it to you to open a business where you can begin to create wealth for the kingdom. I see the Lord. Do you all follow what I'm saying? I want you to see the difference. Some of these people, learned behavior, mimicking, error. You will never see Jesus prophesy like this. This is the word I'm teaching you. I'm not giving you man's definition of revelation. The Lord just showed me five people getting $1 million. Why did he show you that? Why did he show you that? Why? Because that will define the prophecy. I'm waiting for the rest of it. Don't come to me with no mess. Are you going to blow up? No, I'm going to stay intact. I'm not having pieces of me anywhere. I'm going to be whole before a living God and in my right mind. I'm not going to blow into the circus like a tear. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Blow up into what? How is Christ revealed in me blowing up? If I have no real prophecy. Okay, I'm sorry. I can't help it. Is this helping you guys? I hope I'm not scaring you away. You need to know how to discern this word. Woo! Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But listen to this. But when you pray, he said, there's an action word, go into your room. Pay attention to Christ's action words. Oh my God. I don't want to go any further yet. We're going to go back to the last principle, and then we're going to have some talk back. Hold on one second. So I thought I could give you all five principles, but if we're going to do this, I want to give you full counsel to my ability and my part. I don't want to just give you something because it sounds good, make a lot of noise, and you have nothing to study out, no scripture to reference, nothing but a good feeling that make you feel tingly all over because God gave you a word. We're not doing that in the Scribal Conservatory. We need truth. Oh my goodness. Jesus taught us that we are always to leave people with him, thinking of him, loving on him, clinging to him. True reconciliation is clinging, 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 clinging to Christ. Constantly being changed over and over and over and over and over and over. Jesus taught us that we are always to leave people in his presence. Leave people with him, even if we have dust-shaking situations going on. We can be firm, but we can never be vile. Because Christ doesn't speak to us in cruelty. Yeah, everybody on here probably needs to repent. I know I have. And we have to be willing to say that, because all that angry prophecy, all that mean, nasty prophecy, is it revealing Christ? Is it causing recalibration? Is it causing reconciliation? Is it leaving people with Christ or leaving them with a bad attitude and a broken heart? Oh my God. That's why we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Oh my God. Oh my God. Here we go. Here we go. Listen, we talking Jesus. We ain't talking no other prophet. He's the greatest prophet, the greatest apostle, the greatest pastor, the greatest evangelist, the greatest teacher. I'm telling you, if you would shift your eyes to study in him, your eyes would open. But we study people that have flaws. Oh my God. Principle number three. Prophecy is not condemnation. Even in correction. Listen to this. It gives life in the spirit. Even a prophetic word about a pending disaster will have life on the other end of it. Oh, yes, it will. Look at the book of Revelation. I'm going to go there real quick because that's in red, right? I just thought of that. The Lord told me to skip right to red. So we're going to go directly to the book of Revelation. I'm going to show you this in scripture. I'm going to show you how these churches were towed up by the prophetic word. And what did Christ do? He built them back up. Okay, let me find my, there it is. Revelation 1. Okay, so listen. So we know this is in red. Not this part, but I'm just doing this by memory. I don't have my physical Bible open because I'm teaching you. But I study with a physical Bible most of the time. So Revelation 1, it says, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. Okay, so John getting ready to prophesy, right? Now, I want you to see this. Let's see. So John is setting it all up. You know, we hear that. And he was given the word to write on a scroll what you see and send it. So when we taught this last Tuesday, I think in that definition, or I may have shared with you, that prophecy is not just oral utterance. And we all know that. Everybody should know that. It's a large part demonstration. It's a large part what you see, drawing, visual examples, is those kinds of things. Because, like, you know, I've had people tell me God inspired them to write certain things, but you drawing a demon. How is God doesn't inspire wickedness? If he's not being revealed, even in artwork, if he is not being revealed, what is the source of that? Can't give you some great examples because we don't have time, but we do have time for this. Oh my goodness. Hold on. I think I'm in the wrong chapter. Let me flip one. And I'm not going to go through this because we don't have time, but I want to give you, Okay, this is the first church. Now listen to this. Now let's get it. Let's do a different church. No, we'll do this one. We'll do this one. So we're gonna do the Church of Ephesus. That's the only church we're going to do. And I'm gonna charge you with looking at this for the others. So this is Jesus, and Christ really. And we know that Christ is inspiring John to write this down. I mean, he's talking to the angels, but you get the point. So these are the words to him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work. Now, I want you to understand that to the Church of Ephesus, writing is something Christ was ordained to do. Remember the scripture said that there was gonna come a time when no man would teach you, but that God was gonna send Christ and he was gonna write on the hearts of men. That is the same thing as God. In this instance, this is a prophetic word. So because this is a prophetic word, we know that he's being commanded to write prophecy. I'm kind of getting into my book on scribal apostles, but I'm not going to go too deep in that because I don't want to reveal the heart of that book that's pretty much going to be out before Christmas. But here it is. It says here, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars. And he says this, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people. That, do you see how the strength, the comfort and the building up? This is what I want you guys to see. So Christ looks for the good, right? Before he releases the ugly. Now, I understand this isn't always possible. There are always reasons and exceptions for things. But if you are the pastor of a church, a leader of a group, if you are leading people, if you are doing X, Y, and Z, if you are having these things happen, then you automatically know you don't have a choice. As you correct, you build up, you encourage, you release something. And the Lord, God don't speak to me like that. Well, maybe you need to learn a little bit more about Jesus. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe you're not open to how he speaks. Maybe you've made up your mind that they need to be rebuked. They need, and if that is your mindset, how can Christ really speak to you? Because you're not going to hear that part of the release. Don't get mad. That's the truth. Y'all know that's the truth. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name. I mean, he rebuked these churches, but where was God? He was right there in their darkness. He was right there. Even when they had Jezebel in the church, he was there, right in the church with them, telling them everything they were doing good and rebuking them at the same time. And my question to you is, as you read these things in red, ask yourself, how is Christ being revealed? The true question is, was there any cruelty in any of this? See, some people just don't like being corrected. And that just correction alone is enough to make them feel like they're being mistreated. I'm serious. They don't like the fact that you corrected them, so it couldn't possibly be God, right? All right, well, you have to see this. You have to see that these were stern words. They were hard words. They were true words. They were serious, serious words, because these churches were about to lose their candlesticks. They were about to lose their candlesticks. God wasn't playing. Holy Spirit wasn't playing. Christ wasn't playing. But yet, even in all of that, he said, these are the good things you're doing. I see what you're contributing to the kingdom. I see, but I have this against you. Oh, my God. You have forsaken the love. He didn't say, God said he got, he rebuked you. He just, oh my God, by the time you get through that, you tore apart. But not because that word was not, just not because God corrected you, you were torn apart because there was no filter. There was no moment of hope. There was no place of faith. All leaders have made the mistake of responding in anger and frustration and killing people in their process of trying to help them. But when you recognize that mistakes happen, when you learn that sometimes you get it wrong, and get this, when you can admit it and repent, oh my God, God can use you. God can use you. A lot of people prophesy out of offense, out of pain, out of hurt, out of anger, and Christ is not being revealed. They shut up heaven. That's what the scripture says. The scripture says that the Lord was talking about the Pharisees and the scribes. I don't know what passage of scripture that is, but it's somewhere. I think it might be in Matthew. It might be in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, to be honest with you. But the scripture says that the scribes were shutting up heaven on people, shutting up heaven. In other words, they were so mean and so cruel and so heartless that after people listened to them, they turned away. I, in my younger days, had been to meetings with well-known leaders. They beg you and force you to put all your money at the altar so they can give you a word. You go up there and then they abuse you in front of everybody. And you leave defeated and they got your seed. Some of us should be ashamed of what we were tolerated. And I'm not releasing shame on you. I'm saying we should be convicted. Wrong choice of words. We should be convicted by what we have agreed to allow in our lives. We should be convicted. Oh, thank you. Matthew 23:13. I should have known that was that. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Thank you, Apostle Pamela. You hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. In other words, you don't even have compassion for the very people you going out to win over. How in the world are you going to prophesy and you don't like people? One of the craziest things I ever heard a prophet say, they unfriended me after I corrected them. But they said, I don't like people. I give the word and then I tell them to go find somebody to minister to them. I'm like, how dare you? But listen, that's a whole mindset for a lot of people. They're so enmeshed inside the old covenant. They're looking at Jeremiah as their example. They're looking at Ezekiel as their example. They're looking at all these other people. Their eyes have lost focus of Christ. Every time I read something that Paul said or Peter or James, I've said, Holy Spirit, let me filter through the personality of these men. Let me filter through their quirks and their uniquenesses and things that block my view of Christ that I have mistaken for your posture that wasn't yours. Lord, I need to see a pure Jesus. Paul said, God, one profound truth. He said, look to the Christ in me. Then your scripture says it's the Christ in me that is the hope of glory. Father, my hope is that the glory of who you are is revealed as an apostle, Lord, in my calling, or as a prophet in your calling, or as an evangelist. Lord, I declare Christ be revealed. Let the hope of glory come forth in me. These are the kinds of things we need to be praying and asking God for in this hour for the church. Everybody got their intercessory teams and everybody rebuking something. But what if we agreed with Christ? What if we agreed with him and said, Christ, you are the hope of glory in them. Hope of glory. I pray for the hope of glory on the inside of them. Father, I pray that only three things remain in their lives: faith, hope, and love. Do your war with the fruit of the Spirit. I go to war for forgiveness. I go to war for love. I go to war for joy. I fight for my joy, Lord. Let your joy come alive in me. I agree with you that I am filled with the Spirit in Jesus' name. But we don't like to pray like that. We rather get our sticks together and put on our camouflage shirts and put on our boots and run around like we're walking in power. But the power is in the word. But we can't pray the word because we're listening to people about doing stuff that Christ never taught. Oh my God, if you would just hear me. The church is in trouble. And these people are not revealing Christ. They're not revealing him. They're revealing personal agendas. They're revealing world issues. They're revealing division. Christ is our high priest, our chief apostle, our chief prophet. Father, I pray that their reward be found in heaven, not in the earth realm. I pray, Father, that I be revealed so that men might see you. I rebuke every prayer prayed over me for blowing up. I'm not of this world. I just need to be found in Christ. Listen, somebody's got to teach the gospel. Is it you? Oh my God, last part and we're done and we're gonna just stop and talk. Wow. Let's see. I'm just going to use some keywords. Here's another keywords. Judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be. That's a prophetic word. That's a prophecy. Oh my God. Do not. What? That's the command. Judge not is a command. In other words, I'm speaking what I hear my Father speak. Oh my God. Do not give what is holy to dogs. This is why I tell y'all, I ain't putting this out for everybody. The Lord draws. I know people say more people need to hear it. I'll put it on YouTube. And people find you different things. But I just want you to know that we cause people to have issue with us because we cast pearls anywhere. We release things to people that don't even have the capacity to understand what you're talking about. It's so important to cultivate in the fields we've been given, not the ones we want. Oh my God. Ask and it will be given to you. That's a command. That's a prophetic word. You know, have you ever wondered why Jesus didn't prophesy, Rabba Shatayeti, and I hear the Lord? He didn't do that. Now that may be the pattern people have learned and how they've been taught to enter in, or it may even be their way, but is it necessary? Can we just trust him to hear a word? Can we observe how Christ carried forth the ultimate ministry? He is the highest example that there is. Don't be upset, please. Because I'm not sharing this to hurt you. I've been a showman. People have called me to their ministries just to prophesy. I've prophesied to hundreds of people back to back to back to back until one day I said, I'll never do that again. That's not impressive. I'm exhausted now. I can't talk. Better yet, let's do a corporate release. Let's grab a bunch of other leaders and have them minister to the people. I don't have to be the show because that's all I was doing that day. Come on. Oh, my God, my God, my God. The Lord wants to minister to us. He wants us to know who he is and what he called us to do. He didn't come to make us feel so bad that we felt unworthy. That's not his intention. He came to reveal himself and to reveal his intention. It's that simple. Oh my God. But Father, I just thank you for the release of this word on this evening. I thank you, Father, for just touching our hearts and teaching us and showing us which way you want to go. Father, all I want is for you to be remembered, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted up, for people to know you and for you to be revealed. Lord, I desire to see a people immersed in the reality of the Father, the reality of the Son, and the reality of Holy Spirit. Father, if you did it for the 12 that were with you, if you told them that they could do greater works, you can do it for us. Take us out of the circus and put us in your presence, God. You be our greatest example. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So that's it. Thank you guys for your patience. I'm gonna, let's see. LA, I guess, so I let people unmute if they have anything to share, say, any comments. I forgot to record, but it is recorded on Facebook, right, LA?
Yes, we're on live, so we can leave it on the page.
Okay. So I didn't record the one on Zoom, so it doesn't exist on Zoom. It's just on Facebook. But I pray that you were blessed. And I'm all about people having understanding. And listen, for those of you that are part of the conservatory, it's all about Jesus.
Yes.
And if you have any questions, if you have anything that you... don't understand. One of the things that are at the heart of the conservatory is understanding. You are always welcome to ask questions. There's enough of us in the conservatory now, and they've gotten enough teaching that they can answer questions for me without me having to answer the questions.
Yeah.
So I'm just giving you a little bit. This is deeper than this. I know you have ideas, but I'm going to tell you, if you're going to defend prophecy, do it by defending Jesus. Don't use a man to defend prophecy. You always have flaws.
Amen.
You always have flaws. Again, if you have questions, it's so quiet, I don't know what to do. And I actually thought this was a simple teaching.
This is, everyone is just... basically repeating the teachings through the Facebook Live as well as on Zoom. Everybody is basically just, it was deep, praise God. A lot of people are saying this was transforming teaching. so blessed. And it was just very, man, this was very awesome. The Holy Spirit did give me something.
I'm done. So you can close this out and whatever else you feel led to do.
Okay. You all, if you all have questions, type them in. And in the meantime, I'm going to read what Holy Spirit gave me. This teaching shall be as a mirror for our hearts. You've been so accustomed to prophetic entertainment, but this is a season of maturity where you will no longer need to thrive off of what was shown from the days of old in the past in the religious sectors. Take in this teaching as Christ wants to be the more than enough for you. This is a time of training. Come close as he is speaking in a still, small, loving voice, and this shall be what fulfills you. Once you take hold of true prophecy without the religious mask of entertainment, you will then begin to hear clear direction for your families, for your businesses, for your relationships, for your lives, and for your ministries. The direction from Holy Spirit shall be clear, and you will begin to thrive like never before. Hallelujah. Amen.
Excellent word.
Praise God.
Excellent. Do you mind posting it?
No, I'll type it.
When you get time, there's no pressure.
Okay, yeah, I'll type it up and put it on the page. Praise God. So thank you, everyone. Praise God. I will post it on the Bible study page. Praise God. I don't see any questions, but praise God. Thank you all for joining us on this evening. We definitely enjoyed the teaching, and this series is amazing. If you would like to give to the ministry, I definitely encourage each and every one of you to sow into this word. This is a rich word. This is good ground, okay? So you all, please, Veruva has posted the information here on Facebook Live as well as on Zoom. It is honorable to honor God's servants, okay? You've had a really meaty word. Hallelujah. You've eaten some steak tonight. So praise God. So please sow into the ministry of the meal. All right. Yes, we are meeting Sunday. So please join us 11:30. We have some wonderful things coming up. And again, thank you all so much for joining us on behalf of Apostle Teresa Harvard Johnson and the entire Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center team. We thank each and every one of you for taking time out to fellowship with us via virtually. So we thank God for that. Filet Mignon, yes, absolutely. That's right. We had some Chris Ruth tonight. Praise God. So God bless you all, and we will see you all Sunday. And we will see you next Tuesday, and be safe. God bless.